Hello and welcome to the lineup from True Blue LA, your source for thrilling baseball offseason. As you know, there's actually something to talk about news-wise, which is shocking usually for these.
First of all, that was an intense opening. I thought we were like, this.
Well, you and I were singing along to the Flash Gordon theme by Queen. Yeah. We were just singing along, so it kind of got me amped up.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, we are hyped right now, as you can obviously tell in our voices. We're just a big ball of energy. No, the pitching is like, some of the pitching questions are. But we're answered, I guess, since we last recorded. So that's we have a lot to talk about.
Sort of.
I mean, in a way.
We'll clear that up, and then we've got a divisional rivalry, a college crosstown rivalry themed questions from Craig that I'm really excited to dive into with you. You ready?
I love it. I'm so ready.
Well, too bad you got to wait for this little break, but then we'll get right into it.
No.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Bum, 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 bum. So, Clayton Kershaw, this story happened. I read the report from, Passan, who had the
Ken Rosenthal was
Ken Rosenthal, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm cool, awesome. And then I come back to it's a done deal, but then I come back to it's not quite a done deal. What's going on with Clayton?
I believe the terminology used by Rosenthal
I saw a report that was Clayton Kershaw largely expected to
nearing a 1 year deal with Dodgers, and then closing in on 1 year deal with Dodgers was another thing. I think John Heyman in the subsequent days since has I think he tweeted they're in agreement, but nothing more than that. But all due respect to Heyman, I think there's tiers of reporters you sort of run with and stuff. And it's Passan and Rosenthal. And then there's there's a decent size gap, and then other folks. There's plenty of super reliable, Heyman included on most things, but it's there's just a volume of stuff where you really have to take in context and stuff with some things that are tweeted. For the timeline, we're recording this on Wednesday, November 16th, and last Thursday, the 10th, was the day for qualifying offers, and the Dodgers did not extend Kershaw qualifying offer, same as last year. The sort of thought was they don't want to really rush his decision, although last year was a special case because he was hurt and literally didn't know how his elbow was going to recover. And also weighing, like, you know, do I stay with the Dodgers? Do I go to the Rangers? Whatever. But at least we don't have to, like, wait, right? Like, but the day of, like, I'm within, like, I want to say, no, it was maybe a couple hours, I think, if I remember right. Earlier in the day was the qualifying offer part, and then, like, later that night was, Dodgers and Kershaw are in one-year agreement. What? Or nearing one-year agreement, I believe. Yeah. And then everyone sort of, you know, confirming it, other reporters. And so we're at this, like, closing in spot, and then, you know, Friday came. They didn't, you know, finalize it. I remember, not that Kershaw is an active user on Instagram. I can't remember if this was his personal account or the Kershaw's Challenge account, but I believe he had a concert that raised money for one of his charities. I think Friday night, I want to say, and like Darius Rucker was there. So not the thing is like usually, you know, finalize a deal, you take physical and all that. You could take physical anywhere for the most part. Like, you know, they have, Kershaw doesn't have to like fly to Los Angeles to get the deal done. It's not that. So it's not that big of a deal. You know, not that I want to admit to Instagram stalking on the podcast, but you know, just checking in, seeing it, like same deal with like what we'll, I guess I'll talk to about another person later, but like seeing if they posted anything on Instagram after certain decisions were made, that kind of a thing. But yeah, so not sure of the money just yet. So another point in this, we're recording Wednesday night. There was a Sportsnet LA sort of, I forgot what the show is called. It's, I think it's just Access Dodgers or whatever. They recorded a thing tonight, and one of the I did not see the clip, hear the clip yet, but the tweet teasing the clip was Austin Barnes talks about Julio Urias, who we'll talk about him in a second, but also he talks Clayton Kershaw returning. So, like, I doubt the team-owned radio or TV station is going to talk about Clayton Kershaw returning if it's not going to eventually get done. So I don't think this is a scenario where all of a sudden a few days from now, they're going to be like, you know what? Change my mind. Not going to happen. But so I think it's just a matter of time before they sort of figure that out. And they also, and we'll get to this also later. They have plenty of 40-man space like specifically for that now. So they don't have to like move someone to make room or anything. The money has also been sort of like not firmly reported just yet. So I believe anywhere between like 17 and 20 million. 17 seems low. That's what he made last year. Some of the other reports said it was closer to 20, but no one real firm on that. Now, he also did make an extra 3 million last year because of starts that he had. He had up to 5 million in bonuses, and he hit 3 million of them. So I would imagine, given the year he had, he could probably get he's probably going to be around 20 million. But as someone who wrote an article on where the Dodgers payroll stands, I would very much like for that contract to be done so I can publish that article. Yeah. So I just think, you know, we talked about this. I don't on numerous podcasts, probably dating back months. I think Kershaw returning to the Dodgers was the most likely scenario. But at least it's nice we don't have to have that thought like hanging over our head, or at least the, you know, decision. Although we technically do until it's official, but like, you know, that's where we're at now.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and assume I'll move to the level where I will be not just surprised, but shocked.
Stunned. Yeah.
Not a Dodger next year.
If somehow Kershaw doesn't sign a one-year deal with the Dodgers, or I mean, sign a deal with the Dodgers. Let's say he could say, you know what, let's do a seven-year deal or whatever. Like, I'm not, but we're going to do another podcast where it's just you and I singing the actual Flash Gordon theme. I think we can commit to that.
The best performing pitcher for the Dodgers in the playoffs won't be back on sort of the flip side of free agency.
Yeah. So what you have, I guess, with Kershaw returning, right, is it just adds one more to the pile here. The near the top of the pile, but like so the 2023 rotation as it stands now, Julio Urias, Clayton Kershaw, Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May, and then we'll figure out the rest. There's plenty of time in the offseason to sort of do that. There's obviously rookies and stuff, but then won't include is Tyler Anderson, who you alluded to on Tuesday, and also on qualifying offer day, signed a 3-year, $39 million deal with the Angels. Anderson gets $13 million each year of the deal. So he was offered a qualifying offer, which is $19.65 million over 1 year. So there were reports, I think Jack Harris at the LA Times said as of like Tuesday morning, Anderson was undecided on the qualifying offer. He was a candidate, Tyler Anderson was a candidate to accept the offer, you know, just given where he's at, he's going to be 33. That's going to be higher than like the per year salary that he would command on the open market and prove to be true. But also last year, $8.5 million was the most he's made in a season. And it's accounted for a little more than half of his career earnings. So like this was his one chance to get like a relatively large payday coming off of like a fantastic season, like a career season. So my sort of like back of the napkin, like ballparking this, I think had the market for him been only like 2-year deals and let's say like 2 years, $28 million or something like that, even 2 years, $30 million. I think he'd consider doing the qualifying offer and then just going to the market again next year. But then like once he got the third year, he's getting double the money. And it's not a given that even if he came back to the Dodgers at 19.65, that he would have made up the nearly, $20 million or like 19 and a half, over the next 2 years. So like there's obviously, both sides usually, accept some form of risk in these deals. Like the Angels are risking, you know, paying him over 3 years, and Anderson by taking a longer term deal gets like a slightly lower salary out of it, or it's not slightly, but it's lower salary, but he gets the security and the total guarantee is pretty high. And it's really hard to like pass that up if you're in his situation, I think.
Do you have what you and I guessed for Anderson and Kershaw? Handy.
That's a good question.
I want to. Pretty sure neither of us picked the Angels.
Didn't one of us pick the Angels on someone? No, I guess we didn't. Tyler Anderson. I said he would accept the qualifying offer. Dead wrong. You said Phillies. So.
Oh, we didn't do terms this year. That's right.
That's right.
Oh. Would have said 339. So.
Obviously. Let's check with Kershaw. Oh, we both said Dodgers, we win. So once again, we're excellent at this. The Dodgers will get a draft pick for Anderson declining the qualifying offer, which it's going to be like just after the fourth round. Same thing if Trey Turner signs elsewhere, they get another pick after the fourth round. So yeah, like and if you just go back, we mentioned sort of the rotation for a second. One, the top of the rotation right now, Julio Urias. Earlier on Wednesday, the Cy Young balloting or voting results came out, and Sandy Alcantara was going to win. Wasn't sure what the like voting totals would be, but it was unanimous. Both Cy Youngs are unanimous. Justin Verlander won in the American League. I don't know if surprising is the right word. I think he was the clear favorite, Alcantara, but like. And then it was a pretty close between second and third. Urias ended up getting third. Max Fried was second. But it was a pretty tight race between both of those guys. So, it's improvement over last year for Urias, who was tied for seventh. He had like 3 fifth place votes. It was down ballot. He had the misfortune last year of being on a very deep ballot. Also, two teammates in his own rotation ahead of him in that ballot, like with Scherzer and Bueller. So that was a rough uphill battle. So I believe that means if he just keeps on this, he's going to win and or somehow finish better than first next year. I think that's how it works. But so Urias, Kershaw, Gonsolin, May. I think it's still like just given that, I think pretty clearly they still need starting pitching. Now they could get that from in-house, like Ryan Pepiot, Michael Grove both made starts in the majors this year. They're on the 40-man roster.
There's no way they don't go. At least I think it's more one or two arms, right? For free agency.
Exactly. It's like these guys are going to be there no matter what as a backup, right? And like, but there's no way they start the season with, I think, one of those guys in there. And throwing in here also Bobby Miller and Gavin Stone, who are not on the 40-man but are in AAA and, like, you know, probably their two best pitching prospects. And it's just a matter of, like, when they will sort of come up at this year. So, but like that's going to be interesting to see how they handle it. But they, speaking of Verlander, the Dodgers have been at least rumored to be interested in Verlander. I think that's interesting on a couple of levels. So for one, he turns 40 in February, but he's also coming off a year where he had a 1.75 ERA and 28 starts. And again, unanimous Cy Young. He also just came off Tommy John surgery where, now, that happened late in 2020. Obviously, that was the pandemic year. He was coming off a spring injury and then tried to pitch through it, made one start in 2020. So if it was a normal year, it's like halfway through the year. So he missed a year and a half and then came back with just an incredible year. But obviously, there's a lot of, you know, wear and tear on the arm. So he opted out of a $25 million deal to become a free agent. So I think he's going to be like seeking roughly like what Scherzer got last year, which was 3 years and $130 million, I would say, at least on an average annual value. So maybe he doesn't get a 3 year deal because he's 40. Maybe he gets like $40 million plus on like a 2 year deal. And I don't know if that's where the Dodgers want to go. I mean, that's certainly the style of contract I think they prefer. But there's also, oh yeah, the fact that Justin Verlander was on the 2017 Astros. And now it's one thing, obviously, that big thing was like sign stealing for the offense. But, you know, he was on that team. And I would imagine he might not be very popular among a large segment of Dodger fans. So that's going to be interesting. Speaking of those 2017 Astros, also at the top end of the free agent market is Carlos Correa. Like, he's pretty much at the very top. Among the shortstop group, he seems to be the most coveted. The Dodgers have been, like, linked to him in a few sort of pieces. I'm always leery of that. Like, are they – I'm sure they're interested in a way, but also sometimes you wonder if the way these things are kind of thrown out there, if it's like an agent trying to float that to drive up the price, you know, big market team. That
you saw
sort of
this
thing
a lot, and you still do, but slightly lesser extent with the Yankees and the early odds. Yeah. Just every single free agent is linked to the Yankees, and again, to be fair, a lot went there. But yeah, especially considering how deep the shortstop pool is in free agency. They have a lot of other options without having to win the PR battle, and they, you know, they don't have to. Winning cures all, et cetera, but unless you were absolutely convinced you're going to get him for a song, I would assume look elsewhere.
Yeah, because you have to figure. So last year he was also the top shortstop last year, and he sort of waited a little bit or like didn't get like the mega deal, but he signed a 3 year $35 million or 3 year $105 million with the Twins, but with opt outs. So, and he opted out after the first year. So, like, you have to figure this time he's probably going to go for the larger deal. Like, if he can find a Seager deal out there or something, I don't know if it's going to be that. He's 15 months younger than Trey Turner, but you mentioned how deep the shortstop pool was. And we're just talking free agency. Obviously, trades could be made too. But Xander Bogaerts, formerly of the Red Sox, and Dansby Swanson of the Braves, those are all like $20 million plus guys, at least. I would imagine Correa and Turner are probably going to get $30 million plus. So you're still in the, even at the, with Bogaerts and Swanson, you're still talking about a major expenditure, and who knows how long the contract would be, but you know, it's probably not going to be like an 8 year deal or something, but It's going to be interesting this offseason, I think, just given all that. Speaking of roster, since we recorded, like a lot of stuff happened, just sort of general end of season roster type stuff. The Dodgers declined all four of the options we've talked about previously. Most notable was Justin Turner. He had a $16 million option. The Dodgers paid him a $2 million buyout instead. Andrew Friedman, Brandon Gomes have both said publicly at the GM meetings and elsewhere that they want Turner back. You just wonder, like, what cost and what role he's going to have. Like, do you bring him back full time? Do you pay him maybe a little higher? With the sort of caveat that they want him to, I don't know. I don't know if you ask someone to come back and then be like, hey, we're not going to play you as much. You know, I don't know how you broach that subject, like, or just try to like couch it. Like, we want to keep you more relevant, I guess, is the way that Dave Roberts likes to say, but like just keep you rested and healthy and strategic, days off, that sort of thing. And because I do wonder how that's going to work out, but I who knows what exactly is going to happen there, but that's going to be something to watch. I doubt it's going to be as quick a reunion as Kershaw was. Like last time, 2 years ago with Turner, he took into like late February to sign. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this time around. The Dodgers also added four prospects to the 40-man. Diego Carte is their top prospect. He's the youngest player on the 40-man now. He just turned 21. Michael Busch was a 2019 first-round pick. Andy Páez and Johnny DeLuca are outfielders. All four guys are, like, heavy power guys. But most notable for me is those are all position players. So at the moment, they have more position players on the 40-man roster, 20, than they do pitchers. Now it's 17 currently, 18 with Kershaw. Usually, like in recent years, they're in – you know how bullpens are like used so heavily these days. There's usually more pitchers. It's usually like a 21-19 or 22-18 split for the pitchers, like on the 40-man, just because you sort of need more pitchers to like get through the season. But then if you look at it now, it's 2018 position players, and then two of the 18 pitchers are out for most, if not all, of 2023 after surgeries. Another thing is catching up on news. When we go 2 weeks between podcasts, it's wild how long that is. It's like there's so much stuff that happened. Like,
but it's really funny during the early part of the off season, when we do 1 week, it's like, oh my gosh, nothing happened. Here's the one thing we have to talk about. So
maybe we picked the wrong time to do 2 weeks. Who knows? But no, we're fine. But Blake Treinen had to have shoulder surgery, his labrum and rotator cuff in his right shoulder. They're being nebulous about like the return time, but you know, he's going to miss a huge chunk of 2023, if not all of it. So they basically effectively with Kershaw have 16 pitchers on the 40 man. So there's going to be stuff there. They also need a shortstop, which we talked about. And if they bring Turner back and they need another starting pitcher, and you know, they're going to add bullpen pieces. Like, I think this sets up for some potential trades, just given how the makeup of the roster is. So,
yeah, I actually almost brought this up when you were talking about the starting pitching depth. It isn't this thing where, you know, oh, they have eight starters. What are they going to do about it? It's more at that young guy that should be on the major league roster, but hasn't quite proven himself to be relied on. They seem to be really kind of deep there, and with a team of the caliber of the Dodgers, you really only want to give one and a half spots to those kind of a players, and it'll be interesting to see if that's a position of depth that they deal from.
Yeah, and it's another interesting thing, because last year they when they set the 40-man roster for the Rule 5 draft, which, and they didn't know it at the time because the lockout, but the Rule 5 draft didn't happen last year, the major league portion, so the risk of losing a player like was real when they made the moves, but then it ended up not mattering. So they used two 40-man spots last year on like two players who were never going to reach the majors in 2022 in Yorba Vivas and Eddies Leonard, in both who are 21 this year and both who played all season at High A Great Lakes. So it's a lot, asking a lot of your 40-man roster to use two spots on a developmental spot. And I think I'd be hard pressed to say they're going to play in the majors in 2023. Like, they'd have to kick so much ass in Double A and then go up to Triple A and then go up to the majors. So like it could be done, but you're basically, so if we're looking at the roster as it stands, 20 position players, 18 pitchers, but two pitchers are unavailable and you can't put them on the 60-day injury list until like the start of spring training. So you're basically at 20 and 16. And then if you take Leonard and Vivas as like not really 2023 contributors, you're only at 18 and 16 at this point. So it's like, man. So I just think, given maybe some of the stuff they want to do, and it's not like about necessarily going out and signing people, I wonder if they are going to make some trades to like clear things up. Like Michael Grove did perfectly fine in his fill-in. Ryan Pepiot also did okay. He also walks a lot. I wonder if it's either like figuring out if Ryan Pepiot needs to go to the bullpen, or figuring out a way to like, you know, trade one or both of those guys in deals. And they obviously have some other minor leaguers they could trade too who aren't on the 40 man. But like, I just think that's going to be sort of an underrated aspect of what's coming this offseason.
I don't think you can rule out trading Gonsolin either. After is an all-star season, has not really showed it in the playoffs. I kind of put him in a similar camp. His name kind of came up a little bit during the deadline last year, and I think there's smoke there, but whether or not it happens, who knows? But
I'm trying to remember, was that in the were those in the like the Soto conversations, like, or rumors?
That's what I recall, but I can't remember an exact source there. I just remember it like kind of coming up a little bit.
Oh, by the way, they also have to figure out what to do with Cody Bellinger by the end of this week. the tender deadline is Friday. This could be a sort of a transitional offseason in a way. We've talked, like, I don't necessarily think they're going to fully like reset under the competitive balance tax. They certainly could, but they definitely can't if they like keep Bellinger, I think, just given where they're at. But not to say that's the driving force behind if they do non-tender him, but like, yeah, there's a lot of directions they could go this offseason. I think that it's going to be interesting to see how they sort of do it, for sure.
Well, that was a news dump, but we got through it in a nice little timely fashion, setting ourselves up for really nicely for questions from Craig. I get to ask you some trivia questions, and there's nothing in between.
That's right. But first, I have questions from Aaron. And this is a hypothetical because Tyler Anderson is not a Dodger, and when I first thought of this question the other day, it was presuming that he would accept the qualifying offer, which is $19.65 million. So in a very simplified fashion, can Jacob name the five pitchers to be paid more than that by the Dodgers in a single season?
I will try after this.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So this trivia question really boils down to what pitchers have made 20 or more, 20 million or more dollars as a.
And I will tell you that as a hint, everyone is 20 million. And
yeah, as I say, in the technical.
There's no one like 19.788 million when you
stick it to me.
Yeah.
So these all have to be fairly recent.
I will grant you that. That is correct. all of them in the last decade.
Yeah.
In the last 10 years.
I'm gonna screw this up. There's gonna be at least two, if not three, names that I'm just like, how? It's the off season. My brain is off. I'm thinking about soccer. I don't know what I'm thinking about. Pokemon, new Pokemon game coming out this week. Are you excited?
What's Pokemon? No, just kidding.
All right, let's get Kershaw out of the way.
Yeah, so as of right now, we don't know his 2023 salary. I would imagine it's going to also fall into this, but he has done it for 9 straight years, from 2014 to 2022. Now, 2014 was the first year of his 7-year, $215 million contract that sort of set the record at the time. I fudged a little bit, but only because in the true sense of the word, he was paid in 2014, $22 million. $4 million of that was salary. $18 million of that was upfront signing bonus. But that was more of a taxation thing to sort of structure it that way. But he was paid at least $20 million every year for the last 9 years. I'm also counting 2022 because even though he had a $17 million base salary, he earned $3 million in bonuses, so he got to 20 exactly. So 9 years for Kershaw.
So this is being paid by, this is like the number of the Dodgers. David Price is who I'm making sure to. I think I can roll out.
It's what the Dodgers paid.
So all right. So Greinke.
Greinke twice the last 2 years of his. He didn't get $20 million in 2013, but he did in 2014 and 15.
Kenley,
2021, the last year of his 5-year, $80 million deal. He earned 20 on the nose.
And this is another one that's going to get complicated. But Trevor Bauer,
yes. So okay. In 2021, he did get paid. He was $38 million that year, plus. That was in total with his signing bonus. He was suspended. Like, now here's the key. He wasn't suspended until 2021. Until 2022 in April. So he was on administrative leave last year. So he got paid his full salary in 2021. So that's why he counts on here.
Okay.
There's one more. And to be fair, this one more is the reason I asked this question, because it pleases me to no end.
Can you give me the year?
2019 was the year he was paid by the Dodgers.
Nope, I'm tapping out. There's some trick wrinkle to this that I'm gonna not get in the enough time that I don't want to put our lovely listeners through me hemming and hawing.
Homer Bailey.
with the year, I might have been able to get there in like 15 minutes as like I break down the off season and like remembered the trade and went, wait, ooh, oh, okay.
So he was part of the deal that sent Yasiel Puig. We didn't even bring up Yasiel Puig. This week, gambling stuff, whatever, you know it. Matt Kemp. And Alex Wood to Kyle Farmer to the Reds.
the only one that still plays for the Reds.
Yeah, to the Reds. For the most important ones in the deal because of who they got in later trades were Josiah Gray and what was the shortstop?
Jeter Downs.
Oh, Jeter Downs, yeah. And so there was a lot of money exchanged in the deal. So Homer Bailey came to the Dodgers. But what that deal did was it was a cap maneuver, same as the year before when they did the deal with the Braves when Matt Kemp went in that deal. Or when they got Matt Kemp back from the Braves for like Adrian Gonzalez, Brandon McCarthy, all that stuff. So it was a total cap move, not much baseball-wise in terms of on the major league roster. But the Dodgers ended up releasing Homer Bailey almost immediately after the trade. He was paid $23 million in 2019 plus the $5 million buyout of his 2020 option. So $28 million. I think he signed on elsewhere so for the minimum. So maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of like $27.5 million. But he did not throw a pitch for the Dodgers. But, yep, he counts. So, dun, 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 there it is.
Well, as alluded to, your I almost said your alma mater, but you you're like a lot of people in LA. Our listeners are primarily people who live in Los Angeles. I should not demean you, any USC fan.
I grew up rooting for USC. My alma mater, UCSD, just moved to Division I a little over a year ago, a year and a half ago. And they've beaten Cal two straight years in basketball. So I watch them when I can. But yeah, I'm a USC fan through.
Yeah, I was of course kidding. Everyone should root for who they want, regardless of
we're no gatekeepers here.
Especially if the gatekeeping is like at all supportive of NCAA. Everyone be happy with who you're rooting for, and don't let the NCAA or anyone else tell you otherwise. But hey, it's time for
Questions and Craig. We love them.
I have so many Trojan fans angry at me. Oh well, I went to UCLA though, so I root for them when I watch the college sports. And but that said, like you, Eric, when convenient to me, I root for the Kansas Jayhawks, because nice. I live in Lawrence now, and it's fun to root for them. But you know what I'll say, I've mentioned this, to where the Dodgers are really the only sports team that where losses hurt. And instead I now have teams like the Jayhawks. I get annoyed when UCLA loses in basketball specifically.
Sure.
But I don't get upset. I'm just annoyed. And but like when Kansas loses, I don't care. When they win, it's great. I go downtown and you know, have a good time. And this is a lovely way to watch sports.
I will say it is delightful to be able to turn it off when you don't need it. Yeah. Like I have been that way. I think mostly because since I've gotten involved in like writing about baseball, where baseball has taken up so much of my time, to where I sort of I've lost track. I would say the Lakers were probably second for me, like just lifetime in terms of following and rooting for all that. And they're just kind of, even in the championship year, it was like I was not fully paying attention. I was like there, but like not fully there. And like it was great when they won in 2020, but it's like, I watch them occasionally now. Like I don't watch every game.
Yeah.
God, the Raiders. Like I just, it is easy to tune them out. So like
the Reggie Miller Pacers and then I really liked a lot of those players, and they don't play for the team anymore. And
yeah.
And then, I've not really been an NFL fan at all for a while. So I'm left with the Heartbreak Dodgers and that's it. Mm-hmm. It's still fun to watch a UCLA football game.
Craig's questions are all about the NLDS.
Also from Craig. On Saturday, a crosstown rivalry is renewed as USC travels to the Rose Bowl to take on UCLA. In that spirit, this week's trivia is about former Trojans and Bruins who have played with or against the Dodgers.
Craig, a UCLA Bruin in his own right.
I was trying to remember, there was that the year that the furniture store, it's been a while. The furniture store had that contest where, like, if UCLA actually upset the Trojans, they would reimburse you for all the furniture you bought. And that was, I think, my last year at UCLA.
Wow. So are you saying LA had its own Mattress Mac before Houston's Mattress Mac?
Store? HD Buttercup, I believe.
Oh, my goodness. What a name.
And see, and you know, it's one of the things where it's a promotional thing. They probably had insurance over it. So that was, I'm trying to make sure this was, 2006. So right when my first year at UCLA, actually, I got the timeline wrong. But
when they made The Princess Bride in 1987,
These trivia questions.
It was only available in SD Buttercup, just so you know.
2002 World Series MVP, who? That's your trivia question. Leads all former Bruins with 320 home runs. The next three players on the home run leader list all played for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Who were these sluggers from Westwood?
Well, so you have one, Mr. Eric Karros, who is the all-time LA Dodger home run leader. I believe he had 270.
284.
Oh, 270 with the Dodgers. That's right. All right. I don't recognize. I don't recognize Cub A.
You better recognize other team home runs if you want to get these questions.
Yeah, right. I figured. Okay, so now it gets interesting because I don't know a lot about UCLA baseball. But let me think. Okay, so there's a couple though. Oh man, UCLA. Who?
One of these players is, who I think of the most when it comes to especially hitters, well-known Bruins.
Yeah, I am drawing the biggest blank right now in terms of UCLA hitters, and I don't know why. Wow. Yeah, I have to tap out because I am just not feeling it. I can't think of
it. So in fourth place, Todd Zeal with 253.
Zeal, I should have got Zeal.
In third place, Chase Utley.
Ah, of course.
Yeah, who I think of. Can Eric name the UCLA Bruins who played on the 1988 Dodgers and the USC Trojan who was a member of each of the, excuse me, just one Bruin. I incorrectly pluralized that. And the USC Trojan who was a member of each of the first three World Series winners in Los Angeles.
Okay, so my general MO on this, I take the email from Craig with the questions, I copy and paste them into the show notes, and I try to do it reading as little as possible.
Sure.
So when we come on here, the one part I saw was the USC Trojan who was a member of the first three World Series winners in Los Angeles, and it was eating at me before we recorded. I was thinking this, the only one I can think of, I thought for sure he started his career after 1959, but I'm still going to guess him and just think he maybe started in 1959 and say Ron Fairley.
That's correct.
Okay. So the UCLA Bruin on the 88 Dodgers. Okay, I'm going to – Tim Leary.
There you go.
Nice. Well done. I was fully planning to go – down the roster and like eliminating each guy, and then I thought of him, so that's good.
Since 2012, the Dodgers have signed 5 amateur picks from either UCLA or USC for more than $100,000 per Baseball Reference. Can Eric name the former Bruin and Trojan who received the highest bonus? Whew. Good luck. to give you an idea here, Eric, Craig sends these to me in HTML form. So like links are intact for Baseball Reference. The players, the two answers you're looking for do not have a Major League Baseball Reference link. So
the first, for some reason, the first USC guy that came to mind is Jeff Belge.
No.
Okay, so now I got to think about UCLA. Now, okay, wait a minute.
Not a bad place to be in, thinking about UCLA.
Yeah.
Diddy Reese.
So this last year, they drafted Jared Karros, son of Eric. But I have to imagine someone who got a larger bonus than him. I'm racking my brain trying to think of previous UCLA people. Can you give me a hint? Am I looking at pitcher or position player for each one?
Of course I have that for USC. It is a position player.
Yeah.
And I will tell you for UCLA is a pitcher.
Man. Okay. Okay. So the position player, I want to say, is it a first baseman?
It is a first baseman.
I can't think of his name. I have vague memories of this.
This is a 30th round pick.
Is he still a Dodger?
I will find that out for you.
I'm thinking the person I'm thinking of, I think got traded, but I don't remember. I don't remember the name.
I'll see if I have a transaction history on the minor leagues page. I don't think I do.
I don't even think this is going to trigger anything. But do you have a round on the UCLA guy?
I do. It is round 4.
Four. Okay. Wow. UCLA pitcher. Can't remember. I know. I'm out.
I'm gonna find out for you who the
person got,
the USC guy player got what the trade was.
It wasn't strong.
This was in the three-way trade that got netted the Dodgers Garrett Clevenger.
Oh man. Okay, and this is the player the Dodgers sent out.
Correct.
It's weird that I still don't remember. His name isn't Kyle something, is it?
It is not.
Yeah, right. I'm out.
Dylan Paulson.
His name was Dylan Paulson. Okay.
and then UCLA player is?
What year?
2021.
Oh, God. Wait, 2021?
2021.
Nick Nastrini.
There you go.
I should have thought it.
It's lovely that you remember the Bruin. I understand.
Yeah, that's true.
Not at all. It's a fourth rounder versus 30. Dylan Paulson was 13th round. It was the 30th pick in the 13th.
I had a general idea of the USC guy, though, to be fair.
UCLA great Jackie Robinson is on a level all to his own, USC has much greater baseball legacy.
Can Eric name
any of former USC Trojan who has collected at least one of the following: Rookie of the Year, MVP, or Cy Young Award?
Okay, so one of them did two awards in one year, Fred Lynn in 1975.
Yes.
Rookie of the Year, MVP. Randy Johnson has 5 Cy Youngs.
Correct.
Mark McGwire did not win MVP, but he did win Rookie of the Year with 49 home runs.
Well done.
Okay, let's think here.
You're missing 2.
Okay. Mark Price. No, he didn't win. Current Dodgers pitching coach was, I think, second to Gagne in 2003. This is disturbing. Just as a general, you don't have to give me years. I'm assuming at least one of the two I'm missing is from like the 70s or like won an award in the 70s.
I'm going to triple check my knowledge, but I believe you are correct.
Yeah. This is where it's getting rough.
Yes.
Okay.
Confirmed.
Okay. Cy Young, SC,
And the other in the aughts, I believe.
Oh, wow. Okay. SC. Do what? For some reason, I'm having a hard time thinking of some of the like really good USC players, but I don't even think this is right. But the only person I can think of, and I don't even know if he went to USC, I'm just guessing, Mike Hargrove?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to tap out.
You were missing. I'm letting you know you're missing a Hall of Famer. Just before I keep going.
I'm assuming this is the 70s person.
You are correct.
Oh, Tom Seaver. God there damn it. Yeah.
Barry Zito is the only one you missed.
Ah, of course. Nice.
Well done. You clearly, I think you might be a secret UCLA fan. I think you're checking up on them every day. It's good.
Basically, wake up to my wooden pyramid every morning.
What is most likely to happen by the end of winter meetings on Wednesday, December 7th? The Dodgers will have a new shortstop, 2 starting pitchers, closer, or at least 1 outfielder.
They're not even going to sign they're not going to acquire a closer. They might acquire a reliever or two, but I don't think they're going to do a closer. So it's a matter of do they get the second starting pitcher with Kershaw? I'm assuming Craig is not counting Kershaw by then, or at least an outfielder. Shortstop's going to take a while unless they do a trade. So here's the thing. Shortstop could happen fast because I know one of the – so I was shocked at this. So, you know, like MLB Trade Rumors does the arbitration projections for the next year, like sometime late in the season. This year was in October. So the Dodgers had 12. That's a lot for them. But, like, the Rays had 19, and then the Brewers have 18. So the Rays have already done a lot of cleanup because they added some, you know, prospects to the 40-man. But generally speaking, they cleared out some of the, like, expensive arbitration guys on their in trades and like, some other moves. And I would put the Brewers in that same vein. And to that end, like, Luis Urias mostly plays second base, but he has played, like, short and elsewhere. So that could be, and I think he's probably in the, like, I don't know what exactly his number was, but, like, maybe they see him as a tad expensive, and maybe the Dodgers swoop in a la Corey Knebel a couple years ago when he was in his final year of arbitration, and they're like, we don't want to pay him coming off an injury. So that is my sort of backdoor way into saying I think it's going to be shortstop, but I am not confident in that because I think otherwise shortstop's going to take a long time. But I'll just say shortstop for that.
Speaking of shortstops, for the contest, name the order in which the following players are signed. Trey Turner, Carlos Correa, and Xander Bogaerts. For the tiebreaker.
Doesn't even include Dansby.
For the tiebreaker, name the teams they will be playing for in 2023.
You can go first on either one. I don't, whichever one you want to do.
Xander Bogaerts signs first.
Okay, so he goes first. Who's second for you?
Trey Turner.
So, Correa third? No, okay. So I will say Correa, Xander, Trey. Now we have to pick spots.
Okay.
We already did with Trey, so
yeah,
let me refresh. Because I think I might change mine now that I think about it.
I believe you picked the Yankees.
Yeah, and that's why I was thinking.
And I think I picked the Braves.
That is correct. And you also said Dansby Swanson would be a Dodger. So
yeah, and then immediately said, but I actually kind of think it's
Xander. Let's take Trey out of this for that reason. Even though that said,
I'm sticking with the Braves.
I was toying with going with the Phillies, but just for sake of that, since we already picked it, I'll stick with that.
I will take. So I'm again. Sticking with trade to the Braves.
Yep.
Xander Bogaerts is going to be a Dodger.
So the Dodgers are getting both Dansby Swanson and Xander Bogaerts.
The Rangers pulled the trick. No, I'm just covering my bases here.
Well, because when they trade Lux for a pitcher, and then okay, who's Correa?
I don't know. I almost said Texas. how about there's bad blood with the Yankees too. The Cubs aren't ready to spend. Man, I'm bricking here.
They might be.
Maybe. How about the Cubs? Why not?
For Correa. Okay. So I will say, since I don't get Trey Turner to the Phillies, I'm going to put Correa on the Phillies. And let's go. Xander to the Yankees.
All right. There you go. Man, you're also you're covering the Yankees bases, I see. All right.
See, that's right.
It is getting to be that time of the year. Which holiday classic will you stop flipping channels for and stay with until it finishes? For me, it is probably a tie between Scrooged and the British classic Scrooge, a.k.a. A Christmas Carol. I am going to stay in the same vein and say A Muppet Christmas Carol. Yeah.
So I haven't started yet, but like I
always wait for Thanksgiving before I do movies, music, any of that.
I am nearing the point where most weeknights are going to be me flipping around and seeing what absurdly formulaic Hallmark movie is on and watch 23 of those. But in terms of classics, I will go out of my way to watch Christmas Vacation. I will make time to watch A Muppet Christmas Carol. I think like A Christmas Story is okay. Now I actually forgot if they made a new Christmas Story this year with Grown Up Ralphie and other people. I don't remember if that's HBO or not. I don't have HBO at the moment, but I might consider doing if it's HBO. I might consider at some point soon doing trying to get a free month trial of HBO because they also have the 4-part Shaq documentary coming out like this week or next week. So I might try to time it with that. And then I'm certainly forgetting stuff, but like I'm hit or miss on, I don't have to watch It's a Wonderful Life. That's usually for like, if it's on like on Christmas or something, you know, or I think it's on Christmas Eve and Christmas, but I don't know if I'm sure I'll just run into A Christmas Story. Oh, Elf is good. I don't know if I'll go out of my way for it. It'll be one of those like, oh, it's on, I'll watch Elf. I think, and I can't remember if there's the new Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds. This is not a classic, but like, I think that's on Apple, which I also don't subscribe to at the moment. So this is a lot of working around. I guess the Santa Clauses is out now. The sequel, the latest sequel to the Santa Claus.
Another Empire. One?
Yeah. Who knows? But yeah, in terms of classics, I'm going to be bouncing around, and I'm sure I will end up watching most, if not all of them. But yeah, for me, it's like Christmas Vacation is the big one. Elf is good. Muppet Christmas Carol. I know I'm missing more, but like they'll be around. I'll watch most of them.
All right. Final question. Our favorite between various potlucks and gatherings next week, I'll be making both sweet and savory dishes. Among them will be pumpkin pie. This week's final question, besides pumpkin and apple, which are both gross, which pie? Man, I'm going to get so much hate mail after this episode. You, apple pie loving USC fan is just going to write me a letter. Which pie would you like to see on the holiday table? And is there a pie like banana cream or chocolate cream that is out of place there?
Well, I'm going to join you in the taking crap pool because I actually hate pecan pie, which is generally also a staple around the holidays. Like, I am ambivalent toward apple pie. It's not something I really had growing up. I don't mind it. Pumpkin pie I like, but weirdly only like around the holidays. Like, I'm not busting out a pumpkin pie in June, you know, like, so it's not, I don't know. Banana cream pie is my all time favorite pie. So I will take that at any time. It's probably weird to be around the holidays. So I think it's just like, it's pretty much pumpkin for me. It could be a variant like, a pumpkin cheesecake or something like that. But, yeah, I think that's what I would go with. What about the ones you don't like? What do you like in terms of holiday pie?
I definitely, a lot of the traditional ones I'm not the biggest fan of. I made last year, and it was a big hit, a blackberry swirl pie. That was very, very good. So I will be remaking that this year, but I use the Serious Eats pie crust recipe, and it makes two pies worth.
Oh man.
If it's a there's no top or anything. So I have to, I got to come up with another one. I can't, there's no way I'm allowed to do banana cream pie. Melissa would throw that right out.
I stumbled across the other day this week on Delish, the YouTube channel. June, I think she is her last, I can't remember her last name. I don't have it in front of me, but she does one of her like video series on there is like meals on a budget. And it was this particular scenario was she, the one that made me watch was her partner picked all the food. And they only spent $25 and she made a week's worth of meals out of everything. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing how creative she is. So I sort of went down a rabbit hole, and there was one where she cooked an entire Thanksgiving dinner for four. And it looked, when she ended up finishing, I think she made like seven dishes plus cranberry juice plus mushroom gravy. So it probably could have fed 6 to 8 people. She spent, I believe they spent, also $25. It was ridiculous, but the dessert she made for this was a pumpkin tart, because she didn't take the time to do a pie crust. So, but she did a quick tart crust, and it looked amazing. And so I've never had something like that, but it makes me want to try that. But I don't know. I will say next week I am probably going to bring southern green beans at the Thanksgiving dinner. I am going to, and have been sort of searching around trying to figure out the exact iteration I will do to do that. But I'm looking forward to it. It's Thanksgiving's the best. I love it.
We're actually doing Thanksgiving a day early just because of other plans going on and travel arrangements, which means when I say is after we eat our meal, we get to go see the new Knives Out movie.
Oh, Glass Onion.
Yeah. So that'll be good. And then so I'm doing the two pies. I'm baking some kind of bread, probably just crusty dinner rolls. And then, I will probably be, we're getting a turkey from
that's your dinner roll.
Wow. I'm now completely off track. I'm just off base. No.
Your dinner rolls.
Yeah, the turkey from the barbecue place here in Kansas City. Ooh, Joe's. Wow. Which frees us up to do desserts and sides. And I'll do one other side. We did a really solid Brussels sprouts gratin last year, and that might get ran back. But I might try something else. Who knows? Who's to say? I can have a report for you when we record in 2 weeks when the Dodgers have signed a closer, despite your
note. And outfielder, two Xander starting Bogarts pitchers. And Dansby Swanson. I will say...
Who said Dansby Swanson isn't the closer? They lost Hanser, so...
So I will say I also like living vicariously through Craig Goldstein, the editor-in-chief of Baseball Prospectus, who most years around this time, I don't remember if it's before Thanksgiving or if it's after Thanksgiving into December, but they do a pie night or pie week or something.
I believe it's for Thanksgiving because he has a spreadsheet of pies. Yeah. And that is where I got the blackberry swirl recipe.
And they are incredible. Like they just look fantastic. So I enjoy.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to bring it up, but I couldn't remember who. I was like, it's someone I follow on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I don't remember who that I just got this massive Excel sheet of pies.
All from. I ask if all these cool things that you're getting and making for Thanksgiving, can you shoot them preferably professionally, and then send me a video of everything you made. And
I will do my best.
Fully edited. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, fully edited with graphics.
That would be delish. Ah, there it is. Okay. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody, next week. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We will be back with another episode of The Lineup after Thanksgiving. Enjoy your pie, enjoy your turkey, enjoy whatever you want to enjoy on Thanksgiving. Watch some movies. It'll be fun. And let's keep track of who the Dodgers signed together. Thanks for listening.